are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Spurs, right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I am your host, Jeff Garcia, San Antonio Spurs writer, and I'm glad to have you back. First and foremost, before we get into anything, I hope you are safe if you're in Texas or anywhere in the United States where you're having some power outage during this winter storm, especially that it's impacting San Antonio, you know, Dallas, just all parts of Texas. The Mavericks, you know, they canceled their game because the government out there said the storm is too bad. So if you're, you know, bundle up, do what you got to do. Please be safe in this trying time for the Lone Star State. So what are we talking about today? Well, plenty of stuff that you're going to love with no Spurs games ahead in the calendar, at least of right now. But before we get into some Spurs topics, today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? And only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories is only worth it if you enjoy it. Again, this episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. So what are we talking about today? We're going to be looking at the Spurs young core. We're throwing in DeJounte, Derek, Keldon, Lonnie, and Poeltl in this discussion. I know there's Devin and there's other young guys on the squad, Trey Lyles, but we're going to forego those guys and just focus on that core, that five-man core right there. How have they progressed since the bubble, when that was the moment when the Spurs were full forward in rebuild mode? How are they doing so far? We got some time on our hands now. We can evaluate if they're progressing in the right way. And also on the show, we're going to be discussing more about the Austin Spurs and try to single out who else is shining outside of Luka Šamanić and Trey Jones. To do that and more, I'm joined by Ty Yeager. He is a contributor at the Spurs Zone, co-host of At The Line podcast. Ty, welcome back to Lockdown Spurs, and I hope you are being safe out in Dallas, Fort Worth.
I'm trying to stay warm, currently in a hoodie. I luckily have some power, but again, it's cold enough to where you still feel it, even if you got some heat. But I have been fortunate so far. I did lose running water today, but luckily the roommate has a bunch of bottled water stashed away, so we should be good.
Well, Ty, you hang in there. I hope everything gets better ASAP. But you know, it looks like another round of winter weather is coming to Texas. So everybody, be safe, please. One more time before we dive into it, because that's more important right now. But let's dive into this topic here. It's going to take about two segments to get through this, Ty. So let's start off with three of the five young core. We'll start off with Lonnie, DeJounte, and Derek here. And look, let's get rid of the obvious, the guy who's really been excelling of this three-man group that we're talking about first. That's DeJounte Murray. I mean, what more can you say about him? I mean, to say he's taking the next step in his game is just an understatement. I mean, statistical categories across the board, he's having season of career highs in them, points, minutes, rebounds, assists. I mean, pick one. I mean, yeah, there are some areas of work, you know, his three-point shot, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But from how he played from the bubble till now, it's just night and day, and you love it. If you're a Spurs fan, you love to see his progress since Orlando last year, Ty.
Yeah, you do. And even in the bubble, he was still good. In bubble, his averages were about 12 points, 6 rebounds, 4.3 assists, 1.4 steals, 2.1 turnovers, and on 39% shooting. That's not too shabby in 30 minutes of play. So again, it's not like he was bad, but he could have done some fine tuning in. My God, he's clearly done that. He's improved. He's improved in his points per game. Just overall in the season, he's shooting 44% from the field. And I think that DeMar DeRozan has been giving him some mid-range lessons, because it looks like his mid-range is just pure from now. And his shooting has gotten so much better from deep. It's not perfect yet, but he can still shoot it at a decent clip. 31% from deep while taking nearly about 3.3 three-pointers a game. He's probably one of the best rebounding guards in the league, where he's leading the team in rebounds per game. Yeah. So that's one impressive. Two kind of says another stuff, but still very impressive. And then add on that, he's dishing out nearly 5 assists a game and turning over the ball less than 2 times. Mm-hmm. That's what you want. Yeah. And we see, and there's some people have some issues of his decision making even though it's clear that he's improved as a playmaker completely from now.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Look, across the board, for the most part, career highs. I mentioned the points, 15.1 points per game. I mean, this was last year. His averages were 10.9. So that's a good four-ish, a little bit more than 4 points added on to his offensive power there. But you look at his progression since his rookie season until now, 16-17, 3.4 points per game. And you go to 17-18 season, 8.1. I mean, you skip 1 year because he was out. And then 19-20 last year, 10.9 until now, 15.1. There's your progression. You want to see progress with Murray, you got it. And now he's paying dividends for the Spurs' patience and development. You look at Murray, and you mentioned the decision-making thing. I beg to differ with that criticism of him. I think it's improved 100%.
Oh, it has.
I'm not the only one who said that. Popovich has even said that. He's seen Murray pass up a pass, if you will, for a better pass, for a better shot. I mean, I think you're not seeing DeJounte Murray do what he used to do back in seasons past where he just plows to the rim. He's looking for the guy out in the break, Ty.
Yeah, and our friend and I were talking about this, the same thing with him. It's like people are really clinging on to that one poor decision in the bubble on that defensive effort against the 76ers, and they keep they're latched to it, even though that they're about to get dragged off. But it's not a good argument in this tense because, again, turning over the ball, the team is turning over the ball less than two times per each player, and he's only averaging 1.7 turnovers a game. And it gives him one of the best turnover assist to turnover ratios in the league. So he's making great decisions. One, in the way that he scores, and two, getting his teammates involved. And he's not dishing the ball to opponents on a consistent basis. He's not doing that.
No, and you're looking deeper into what Murray has done this year as far as by way of improvement from Orlando to now. This season, he's fourth among point guards in rebounds. He's fourth among point guards in defensive rebounds, fifth in steals, and 22nd in points. That is just really good. You're seeing the progress from him. I got to say, if we're going to give a grade from Orlando to now, Ty, I'm going to give him a solid A. And I wish I could give him an A+ because there's still areas of his game to improve. You mentioned it. I mentioned it. The 3-point shot. I had a chance to talk to him about that a few weeks ago. Because remember that period of time, I don't know if you recall, where he had 4 or 5 games in a row where he had at least 1 3-point shot or more, and he was on a really hot streak. Now, I know the game before this current stoppage of play because of the pandemic and the COVID issue with the Spurs, he went 0-for versus the Hornets, but nevertheless, you're seeing improvement. He told me that that's not going to rattle him. He's going to keep on shooting it, and that if you're working on your game, he told me, and I'm paraphrasing here, then your mindset should be, the next shot's going in. Your thoughts on that area of improvement, any other areas of improvement you may have for him, Ty?
You know what? I'm giving him an A+, though. I'm going, even though he's shooting at 31%, it's been a dramatic difference in terms of his 3-point attempts. Last season, he only attempted 1.7 threes a game. Now he's doing 3.3 and hit them at a consistent rate still. Yeah, 31's not great, but he's putting up the shot and he's won games off a 3-point shot. Yeah. So, It's overall, he's improved as a player. He's the clear leader of this team, and he has won this team multiple games with his defense and his scoring. We've seen multiple game-winning steals from him, and then we saw that 3-point shot as well that won the game. So he's doing a whole lot more for this game, and he is bringing it in the times that it's needed the most. So I'm giving him an A+ because he's one of the best players on this team.
That's going to shift gears now to the second of the young core, and that is Derek White. Last season in the Orlando bubble, my goodness, I mean, what more could you say? That 3-point shot was falling, the whole charge thing, how many charges he was picking up, the rebounding, one of the best rebounding guards out in the Orlando. You saw it all. And then you fast forward to this season, Ty, and then he's been injury plagued. That toe, he had off-season surgery, got fixed. The Spurs, held him out of preseason play, start the season, comes back, does it again, injures again. But in that one game, he came back before the second toe injury. He looked great. We're like, okay, perfect. Then he came back from that second injury and then kind of started off slow. Unfortunately, this current COVID situation with the Spurs came at the wrong time for him because he was finally looking like Derek White, bubble Derek White, if you will. Your overall thoughts on White, where have you seen him improve most from Orlando till now in the small sample size we have for this season?
So add on, just to start off there, I think it's way too early to give him any sort of letter grade just because you've only seen 8 games of him. But in the 4 games that he started, this team is 4-0. And this team has looked tremendously much better with him in that starting rotation. And this has been and this team has had some starting rotation issues where when it came to playing LMA and then adding on Lonnie as well into that starting unit, it was like a negative 12 on the floor. Then you add in Derek and Pirtle, it goes to like, I want to say nearly plus 11 or something like that. It's just a lineup that makes a difference. And it's because of Derek White's presence on defense out there. And while the scoring has dipped just because he really hasn't been able to really play as much, he's still doing really well, shooting nearly 40% from the field on 10 attempts a game, still shooting 34% from the field. He's not shooting at the clip of like he did in the bubble from deep, but he's still shooting at a high rate. And I think that early on, he was kind of struggling with his shot to really go down, but he was still working on the defensive end of the ball, which that's great. That means that if his offensive game is not going, he can still show up on defense and make a difference. And I think that's what counts.
Yeah. And I'm looking at Derek White. You're right. It's hard to give him a letter grade right now, or even just kind of an overall evaluation to see his progress from Orlando to now, because we have a very small sample size with him for this season. Now, whenever the Spurs do resume, maybe we can revisit his progress from Orlando to now, but right now it's kind of tough to, you know, nitpick or criticize or applaud or not applaud him, because we just really haven't seen Derek White. And for now, we have a promising start. We saw how he played right before this current pause in the Spurs season. So that's a great foundation. But again, it just sucks because, you know, here we are. You know, there's not going to be Spurs games for the foreseeable future. But in the little sample size we do have, we have some numbers that prove his worth. Whenever he plays 24 or more minutes this season, the Spurs are 4-0. Whenever he has 7 or more 3-point attempts where he's taking them and he's hopefully making them, the Spurs are 2-0. So, again, small sample size, really tough to pass judgment. And, just one more before we go on to the next player. Whenever he has 2 or more rebounds in a game this season, the Spurs are 5-1. So, overall, you see his impact this season. We hope it gets better.
Another thing before we move on, if you look at his assist numbers, he's dishing the ball more than I've seen him dish before. So he averaged about 5 in the bubble, and in his first game against Minnesota, he had 8 assists. So he's still looking impressive. Even with the small sample size, he's still looking impressive.
Yeah, he really is. Now let's go to shift to a player that has starting to become a polarizing name player among Spurs fans. Now, he did have a good game before this pause, but nevertheless, it's Lonnie Walker. Oh, man, it's hard for me to – I mean, where do you begin? You can say that he's out of place in a starting role. You can say maybe he's better off the bench. But this season, from Orlando till now, I still feel that the jury is still out, because – it just feels like it's same Lonnie, inconsistent, has the occasional game where he's looking like he's the next for San Antonio, and then he goes back into his inconsistent ways. I don't know how to grade him, because we have a good sample size this season. But to me, Ty, it feels like it's just the same Lonnie from Orlando.
It actually, when you look at the numbers are pretty damn similar compared to Orlando. So it's my issue with Lonnie. It's mainly the players that he's put around, especially whenever he was placed in that starting lineup where first off, let's talk about the type of player that Lonnie is. He is a dominant scorer whenever he has the ball. And as a result, he needs those touches. But he's been put in lineups where he's put around other ball dominant guys in DeJounte, DeMar, LMA, and Keldon, where those guys really take away the touches, and he's kind of he's the fifth man on the totem pole in a five-man lineup. So, and for him to really to be used at his best, he needs the touches. And we saw this whenever DeMar DeRozan was out for a few games. When Lonnie became that primary scorer, he showed up, and he showed up consistently between those two games. And that's where it's encouraging, but it's not encouraging whenever Lonnie Walker just doesn't fulfill his potential when your best player is out on the floor. That's what sucks in all this. I've been saying this all season that he should come off the bench just because I think that he can become a primary scorer off the bench. And you know, looking at that Hornets game, he looked a lot better coming off the bench. Even when DeMar DeRozan was on the court, he was doing so much better out there on the floor. And I don't know if it's how they were running against Charlotte or what exactly was going on, but he scored 11 points on 71% shooting. That's what you want from him. You just need him to come off the bench and be a spark plug scorer, at least in how this current team is built.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to see Lonnie, if he can just snap out of that inconsistency. I think that's what it is for me. And I think once he gets there, and if the Spurs do, you know, make an adjustment whenever they do resume play, I mean, I think that'd be great. I mean, now's the time to really evaluate where Lonnie fits now. I mean, they got time. If they look at the numbers, as you mentioned, maybe he does come off the bench. I remember it was per Cleaning the Glass, they had the lineups, and Lonnie in that starting unit, he was a minus in the plus minus. He was impacted negatively. But whenever he was shifted, and according to Cleaning the Glass, to a bench unit where he's out there with Mills and Gay, and I think one more other bench player, you saw the number spike. He was had a positive impact. So perhaps that is the way for the Spurs to go. When we get back, though, we're going to continue our chat about Lonnie and talk about a couple of other of the young guys from Orlando to now. You know, before we go in and shift to the final young guns in our evaluation from Orlando to now, again, this episode of Locked On Spurs is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. And for this segment, we're going to go ahead and give out the Ultra Player of the Week, and that goes to Jakob Poeltl. What he's done right before the pause, it's just been amazing. We know the defensive numbers. We don't need to repeat it. You know everything, how he's being that sneaky, high-powered defensive guy. And, yeah, he gets the Ultra Player of the Week, doing it all on both ends of the court. And with Michelob Ultra, hey, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. 2.6 carbs, 95 calories. It's just the enjoyment of having that with you while you're watching the Spurs game, whenever they do resume. And yeah, it's great to have that with you. It's one of the low calorie. I think that's what I like. For those of y'all trying to get out of that pandemic quarantine weight gain, but you like to enjoy the occasional adult beverage, Michelob Ultra is right for you. Once again, please check out Michelob Ultra. We're back, and I'm joined by Ty Yeager. He is a contributor at the Spurs Zone. Follow him on Twitter at the Ty Yeager. Ty, you know, we were talking about Lonnie in the previous segment. I was going to wrap him up before we shift gears. I'm going to give him a C, man. I really don't know where we're going with Lonnie. I like what I saw in that game against the Hornets before the pause. But again, is he going to continue that when the games resume? I just don't know. I'm going to give him a C.
I wouldn't blame you. I think I would give him a C too. I think that's going to go start trending up just in terms of where he was placed in that lineup against the Hornets and how he looked during it. I think once you give him a consistent role that he is in for multiple games and he's not swapped around in terms of minutes, in terms of touches, I think once you set him up to be in a consistent role, he will start being consistent as a result. So I think that it's going to trend up. It's again, we're really only one third wave through the season, so things can always change, things can always improve, but also things can always detriment. But I think Lonnie is in the trend that's going up. So right. I think we're going to see some improvement from him. And yeah. Knowing Lonnie, I think he's probably going to be pushing himself too. But once he's set up in that consistent role, I think he's going to become more consistent. So I think we're going to see some better games out of Lonnie Walker.
Yeah, again, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, knock the guy. You know, he's great off the court. He's very respectful during media sessions. On the court again, it's just that inconsistency, and it just feels like we still have the same Lonnie from Orlando. It just feels like that. And yeah, as Ty mentioned, you know, those are the numbers. They show that they're eerily similar. Hopefully they'll get better. Now, if there's any silver lining in this, is that we know defensively that's where he shines, at least some numbers here. So real quick, whenever he has two or more steals, Ty, the Spurs are 3-0. Whenever he has five or more defensive rebounds, the Spurs are 4-1. And whenever he has just five or more rebounds, just in general, the Spurs are 4-1. So, yeah, you know, it looks like he does make an impact defensively. Just offensively is where he sputters at times. But when he's on, he's on. We saw that against Minnesota. We saw that OKC. We saw it against Hornets. Just they're too far and few between. Hopefully he'll get better. All right, let's talk about the final two of the Spurs young core and how they're doing since Orlando to now. Let's start off with Keldon Johnson. Again, where do you begin? I mean, it's tough to criticize him when he's just been on for his sophomore season. And here's a guy who pretty much was thrown into things last season right before the pandemic. They just called him up, and that's when he started to really get going. Then the pandemic happened. Then the Orlando games happened, and you're starting to see what he can do. And now this season is paying off. Your overall thoughts on Keldon from Orlando till now?
What can we else can we say about Keldon besides the leap that he's taken this season has been tremendous? And he's kind of been on a little bit of a down. He went on kind of a little down crease in terms of scoring, but again, he's back on it. Again, he's overall in the season, he's improved, and that's what you want to see. The points are kind of actually around just a little bit around the same point, but he's kind of actually kept the same role since the bubble. But this season, 14.5 points. He's the third leading scorer on the team. That's to be a third leading scorer on the team in your sophomore season. That's something. Add on that he is tied for second in on the team for rebounding with 7 nearly a game.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. He's doing everything right. He's scoring at a really good clip, 46%. His 3-point shooting, he's still putting up shots, which I think that I would rather see. And he's still shooting it over 30%, 32% on the season. So he's doing everything that you want in terms of being an energy guy, just not stopping, and probably he's going to hurt some opposing players with the way that he plays.
Yeah, he definitely is. Now, quickly, some numbers to show just how much of an impact he is for San Antonio. And boy, they're pretty good. Let's put it that way. Whenever Keldon makes at least one or more three-pointers, the Spurs are 11-5. Whenever he has four more field goals made, the Spurs are 12-7. And we have a large enough sample size to see where he ranks among other small forwards. And this is where he really shines. He's third in offensive rebounds among small forwards. Fifth in rebounds, as Ty highlighted. 6th in defensive rebounds, 12th in free throw attempts, and 13th in free throw made. So you're starting to see him, you know, become the player, but that comes with some kind of areas of concern or improvement. And that is, I think he needs to be finding some sort of in the middle game. He's great at attacking the rim. We know he's relentless. We know he hits the occasional 3-point shot, but that's it. You know, eventually that's going to catch up to him. Defenses are going to say, okay, just run him off the 3-point line or, you know, don't let him penetrate. I would like to see him develop more of a mid-range game or at least something he can go to whenever he doesn't have the rim or he doesn't have the 3-point shot tie.
Yeah. I noticed that during some points of the season that whenever, if he can't get one thing going, his offense kind of turns off. But I think he has a little bit of he has a little bit of lenience, at least this season, with how many other offensive weapons there are. So I'm really hoping that he's working on other aspects of his game. But the ones that he has in his game, he really excels at in terms of the rebounding, the inside scoring, and I think the biggest thing that he's going to probably work on is improving that 3-point shot overall, because he can shoot again. He can hit that 3-pointer with that really high arc. We've all seen it that goes off the camera. But I think if he improves his 3-point shot to where he can really hit it if he can make his attempts at a high rate, I think that's going to make him really deadly. A inside out type guy who can just really give you fits on the defensive end as well. But like you said, I think he needs to diversify his offense a little bit. But overall, I'm not mad at the moment.
Yeah. You look what he's doing statistically from his rookie season until now. He's having a career high in minutes, 30 a game, points, 14.5, rebounds, 7, assists, 2.3. So, yeah, I mean, he's getting his heart to really, you know, kind of nitpick with him. But, yeah, but there are areas of concern. And you look at some of the games he's had before this pause. You know, he had a stretch of games where he was starting to show a little inconsistency. He had 25 points on the game against Memphis in February 1. Then he went down to 6 in the following game against Minnesota. Rallies against Houston, you know, with 10 points, and he falls again. 9 points versus the Warriors, and a win for San Antonio. But before the pause, he's already finding his groove again. He's scored in double figures for 3 straight games, so that's good. And the Spurs are 2-1 in those games when Keldon is scoring 13 points or more. Again, looking at that 3-point shot, it's okay. You know, can it get better? Of course. He was 1-for-3 against the Hornets before the pause, 2-for-3 against Atlanta to start the road trip. Then he went 0-for-2 in that last home game before the road trip against the Warriors. All in all, there's room for improvement, but we have to remember that. I think we forget about this, Ty. He's just a sophomore in the NBA. We forget that because the way he plays, Ty.
Yeah, and that's what kind of a big reason I say that I'm not mad that his offense is the way that it is currently, because I know that he's still improving. Man is growing. He's listed 6'5" height, and he's definitely grown an inch or two, because that man can play against power forwards. And then also add on that as a 21-year-old, he is 3rd on the team in win shares. That's a pretty significant thing, especially for a Spurs player who is really excelling at such a young age. So he's going to be improve. He's going to keep improving, but the way that he's contributing right now is something that's exceeded expectations.
Absolutely, I'm going to give him. I'm going to give him an A. What about you?
I'm going to say A minus. I think just a little bit of the offensive inconsistencies is knocking him down. But again, it's still an A. It's still an A.
Yeah. Yeah. He's still passing with flying colors. All right, Ty. I don't know if I should just let you have the final segment to yourself, because it's about Jakob. And we know you're very pro Jakob. But look, he got the Michelob Ultra and the Lockdown Spurs, you know, power player of the week. And there's a reason for that, because from the slow start he had to the season, you fast forward to now, just amazing. And we saw it started to happen in Orlando last year when he started to gel with the young guys. So, Ty, take it away. How has Poeltl improved from Orlando till now?
So, in Orlando, he talked a big game going into Orlando. And I would say that some people were kind of underwhelmed in terms of the expectations. He only scored 8.3 points a game, still rebounded tremendously, eight rebounds, with nearly half of them being offensive. I think the issue came with his personal fouls, where he almost averaged 4 fouls, because let's be honest, he did not get any good grace from the refs in terms of getting any foul calls to go his way, unfortunately. But in the past 6 games, he is averaging 10 points, almost 10 rebounds, with 3 of them being offensive boards, at 30 minutes per game, and a plus minus of nearly 10, with also fouling only fouling about 2.3 times a game. Also add on that he is the block of Poeltl is back with 3 blocks a game.
Yeah,
three games in the past 6 that have had 4 blocks. Do you know how tremendous that is for a defender?
Look, he is arguably one of the best defenders, at least for the big man department, in the league. Not just the Spurs, the league.
The league. He leads the league in defensive field goal percentage, which means players are not scoring against him easily. No. And to do that at the center position, do you know how good you have to be to do that? To have a defensive field goal percentage under 40% near the rim.
Yeah, I mean, he's just been awesome defensively and offensively too. Let's not forget about that. You know, as a matter of fact, I think that's a great place to take a little quick break, Ty. When we get back, we'll continue our chat about Pirtle, wrap him up, and then talk to you a little bit about the Austin Spurs when we get back. And I know there's going to be plenty more to say about Jakob and what he's doing this season. But before we do that, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on your sports action. Football may be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds, and it's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head on out to the website or use your mobile device and sign up today and get yourself a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag, your online sportsbook expert. And by the way, use promo code LOCKEDON. And quickly, I want to talk to you about rockauto.com, which is a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. You need motor oil, you need new carpet, you need anything for your car or truck. Again, rockauto.com is your place to go. Their catalog is unique and easy to navigate, and all the parts will be delivered directly to your door. They got the brands, specifications, even the prices you prefer, and those prices are always going to be reliably low. So don't go spending up to twice as much when you simply go to rockauto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you. An amazing selection and reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, Ty, let's go ahead and dive into this final segment here on Locked On Spurs and continue our chat about Pirtle. Offensively, he's starting to shine a bit too. He may not be knocking down jumpers or hook shots, but he's finding a way to contribute on the offensive end. And I think that's something that's been a knock on him since his time in the NBA until now with San Antonio. What are you seeing offensively with him?
I just want to remind everyone that Jakob does so much more for this team offensively without needing to touch the ball. He has the third best offensive ranking on the team. That doesn't include Trey Jones because he just hasn't played at 118. And overall, his net rating is a plus. And doing the math in my head is a plus 13 because he's putting up great defensive numbers and he's doing so much on offense that the team really benefits with him being on the floor. If you look at how he runs the pick and roll if you looked at years past, him and Derek in the pick and roll has been dangerous in terms of getting Derek open and or setting up Derek to get some sort of scoring opportunity no matter what. Jakob Pirtle does great things for his team on the floor with setting screens, grabbing offensive boards, and then causing offensive opportunities with his defense. So he does a lot more on the floor than people think. You don't need to score to be someone that can really benefit a team on the floor offensively. And I think people need to realize that it's more than just points. It's more than just the normal box score stats that really right. show how a player can contribute on the floor.
Well, and he's contributing. And look, again, we know he's not going to be asked to join the All-Star 3-point shootout contest whenever that happens again, Ty, that's for sure. But in the last five games before the pause, he scored in double figures 4 out of 5. As a matter of fact, he scored 12 points in back-to-back games again before the pause against Atlanta and Charlotte to start the road trip. And he's put in a double-double twice in the last 4 games. He's doing so much. And get this, Ty, he's making free throws. He went 2 for 2 against Charlotte again before the pause. And even from the field, he's knocking them down 3 for 7 from the field against the Hornets and 7 for 7 versus the Hawks.
I love it. It
was like Pirtle's coming around. And we didn't really see this kind of Pirtle out in Orlando, did we?
I don't think so. He still scored like 8 points a game in Orlando, but it just wasn't much. He was not able to stay on the floor as long just because of the personal fouls. But to see him start adding a little bit of scoring into his game, that's going to be a benefit. It's going to really help the team. And I know it's just around the rim. He can't stretch the floor. I don't care. I don't care if he can't stretch the floor. Look at here's another thing. I know people love saying that. Oh, he can't stretch the floor. For instance, people were saying, put Bryn Forbes out there. He can stretch the floor. Well, his defensive liability hurt us, and it was show. Now, I'd rather have a guy who's a bit limited offensively if he's bringing defense and stopping and making the other team not score. I think that's more important because at the end of the day, it's who has the most points that wins.
Exactly. Quickly, a little bit more about Jakob Poeltl. The Spurs are 6-0, excuse me, whenever he has 9 or more rebounds. They're also 6-0 whenever he plays 26 or more minutes. And whenever he does have 12 or more points this season, the Spurs are 4-0. And when he ever does make 6 or more field goals made, the Spurs are 4-0. And what can you say about him? Even on the offensive boards, he's one of the best I've seen. I actually wrote an article about that, and I got to talk to him about it, about his offensive rebounding side. He said it just comes easy to him, that he actually prefers that end of the court as far as rebounding. So he embraces that. He embraces the fact that he's playing a role, that being kind of the guy in the middle that just does all the dirty work, setting the picks, doing the screens, rolling on the pick and rolls, everything you need out of a big man. And just one more thing about Jakob before we shift gears to the Austin Spurs. Among centers, Ty, he's 11th in blocks and 11th in field goal percentage and 11th in offensive rebounds. So he ranks up there, Ty. Your final thoughts and a final grade.
Jakob Poeltl. I'm going to give him a minus again. He had a slow start at the beginning of the season, but man, whenever he's kicked it back up, he has been one of the most valuable players in terms of what his play means to the team. I think in the long run, this man should be starting. I know there's people that love LMA, but sorry, Jakob Poeltl does so much for this team with his defensive abilities, and the record shows whenever he's playing some of his best game, this team is at its best. And also add on that he is 5th in block percentage per games and 9th in blocks per game. So
yeah,
Jakob Poeltl, and honestly, some I want to say NBA.com released their defensive player of the year rankings for like the top 5. Jakob Poeltl should have been at least number 5. He's getting robbed because he is one of the most impactful defenders while he's on the floor.
You better get some votes. I mean, you better see some votes, whoever gets those ballots.
I better see him on a defensive team, at least get some votes for that all-NBA defensive team. Even if it's second defensive team, I better see some damn votes.
I'm pretty sure he will. I'm being hopeful, Ty, and I agree with you. I think
DeJounte Murray should get an all-defensive team nod.
And MIP consideration.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
Yeah. What was your grade for Poeltl again?
A-.
A-. I'm going to go with you. Yeah, I agree with you. I think it was an A-. Hopefully it gets better. All right. So now we're done with the Spurs young core, and it looks like they're progressing swimmingly. Maybe not for Lonnie quite yet, but hopefully he'll get better. Let's shift gears quickly about the Austin Spurs. Look, that's the only silver and black action that's going on right now with the Spurs San Antonio team being on pause right now. And look, we all know Trey Jones and Luka, they're playing great. And they deserve a round of applause. But the Austin Spurs are 4-1. And they're 4-1 for a reason, because it's a team. Who has been shining, in your opinion, Ty, outside of Luka and Trey?
So I think it's obvious Robert Woodard II, who is the Kings flex assignment, he's been one of the best guys coming off the bench. But I know, unfortunately, he's not Spurs, which sucks, but he's still showing off with his rebounding abilities, his ability to finish inside. And no, even if he is a King, he is still contributing to Spurs winning. So I will still give him the nod. But I think he's done some highlight plays. He's even got a game-winning steal against, I want to say it was Lakeland. So he's still contributing out there, and he's still doing some great numbers. But to focus on some other players that are specifically with the Spurs, one of the guys that first comes to mind is Nate Renfro. This guy was a tryout player for the Austin Spurs. And man, he's making a difference when he's on the floor. It's kind of crazy what he's done for this team so far in terms of he's been a monster blocker. He can score inside, but he's been doing a lot for this team while he's on the floor.
You know, when I look at this Austin roster, and you know, they're 4-1 for a reason, because they're coming together. You've heard me talk with Coach Nielsen. you know, he keeps on saying cohesion, chemistry, you know, they're playing well together. And yeah, I mean, they really, really are. And are they kind of buoyed by Samardzija and Jones? Absolutely. I mean, they go pretty much as they go, as we saw against the Canton Charge game where the Spurs lost and they didn't have Luka on it. But nevertheless, you know, you saw guys rally. And if one guy that's really standing out for me, it's got to be Cam Reynolds. I mean, he's averaging 15 points per game with Austin. He's shooting about 44% from the field. He's giving you at least 2 3-point makes a game, about 4 rebounds, 1 assist, and he's a +2 for Austin when he's on that court through 5 games. We forget that he has NBA experience. He played in Minnesota, and he's played in the G League as well, and it's paying dividends. And he's the Spurs two-way guy. We forget that. He's a San Antonio Spur where he, you know, they want to bring him into the parent club. They can do that right away, and he'll likely make an impact as well. Cam Reynolds, he's silky smooth. He can get it on the defensive end. Offensively, he's great. He's long, and he's – I know he's athletic, but it's almost like he's deceptively athletic. It reminds me, like, of Kyle Anderson, slow-mo. He has that kind of game where he'll get to the rim, but you're like, how did that happen? How did he get there? And defensively, he's just there right now.
It's also
or play the passing. I like what I'm seeing at Cameron.
Yeah, and he. Go ahead. I will also say that 15 points is he's always a quiet 15 points, because mm-hmm. everyone else is kind of focusing on Luka, on Trey Jones, and maybe even Kyrie Thomas, who has been scoring 18 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron Reynolds is really kind of hiding behind everyone and still really mm-hmm. hurting opposing teams.
Exactly.
I think that his NBA experience is showing that he's being able to propel himself above some of this G League talent, and that's really mm-hmm. important. That's really important. We've seen guys that do really well in the G League, they just don't translate well to NBA. I think Cam Reynolds is one of those guys that he just needs some time to marinate in the G League and really mm-hmm. take advantage of that. And I think that you're going to see teams who really need some guys who are going to need some guys with COVID protocols and injuries that Cam Reynolds might get the call up.
I hope he does. And I think he can make an impact off that bench for San Antonio. I get it. It's two different levels, you know, G League versus NBA level competition. But again, we forget he played in the NBA. He's played with Minnesota before. He has that experience. So he's aware of it. And you couple that, we learned the Spurs system out in the G League with Austin. I think it'd pay a dividends for San Antonio should they need him down the road. And again, if you're not tuning in to Austin Spurs games, you really should. Not only because they're the only game in town right now, or at least via, you know, the internet or wherever you watch your sports, but you're seeing some good basketball. And yeah, Ty, the Austin team did lose against Canton, their first loss of the G League season, but I mean, they were sluggish. I mean, that schedule that the G League is having teams to go through is brutal.
It is. And then also add on that, they did not. Luka was out of that game with right before tip off with a sprained finger, and it showed that team was not prepared to play a game without him. I think Coach Nielsen even said that he admitted that he did a poor job of setting his players up for success because he did not put in the time to prepare for not having Luka out there. But and he says that Luka's offensive game was. It's probably one of the most important for that team, and it really showed against that because they were like, I want to say, nearly 6th in the G League in offensive rating. That offensive rating dropped after that game to 12.
Big time.
12th, yeah. out of 18, 12th out of 18 teams in the bubble. But it really showed that offense really hurts without him out on the floor.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the time you're listening to this episode of Locked On Spurs, either the Austin Spurs are playing right now or they're about to play. So if you have a chance to tune in, now is your time to see how the other young guns out in Orlando are doing for your San Antonio Spurs. Hey, you could be
it's looking on ESPN at the Plus next, Fox Sports Southwest. Go watch.
There you go. You outside of Trey Jones and Luka, perhaps there could be another gem the Spurs can find out in their developmental system. All right, we're done talking. We want to hear from you. What do you think about the young guys from Orlando to now? You heard what we have to say. Is there any criticism? Do you think, no, they're still not there yet? We need to know. And also, what do you think about the Austin Spurs? Who else outside of Samardzija and Jones is shining for you? If you're tuning in, and you should be, you can let me know on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. Subscribe to Locked On Spurs wherever you get your favorite podcast, radio.com, Google Podcasts, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, pick a platform. It's there. And while you're at it, subscribe to Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Gives you all the good information you need when it comes to fantasy basketball advice. And it's important that you have a reliable source. And that's where host Josh Lloyd, the host of Locked On Fantasy Basketball, comes in. There is no other fantasy basketball podcast that delivers excellent quality information you need. Go check out Locked On Fantasy Basketball. It's the number one fantasy basketball podcast. Locked On Fantasy Basketball, wherever you get podcasts. Ty, take it away.
Follow me on Twitter at TheTyJager. That's the Ty, J-A-G-E-R. For all your lovely Austin Spurs highlights, as well as coverage of the Austin Spurs and San Antonio Spurs once they get back into it. But also, if you guys just want to see interact with me, go do it. If you want to give me ass, go ahead, do it. I'm all for it. But you can find me on Twitter at TheTyJager.
Yeah, and by the way, Ty does have an article about Robert Woodard. Yes, we get it. He is a Kings player, but he deserves the attention. And you need to read it. It's out right now. Go check it out at the Spurs Zone. So for Ty Yeager, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.